Morgan's Organic. We'll get your garden growing great. Oh, that's a Morgan Brothers guarantee. Oh, when your soil is off the boil and you get nothing for your toil, a blood and bone will fix you up a treat. Morgan's Organic. We'll get your garden growing great. Oh, that's a Morgan Brothers guarantee.
Yes, it is.
A Morgan Brothers guarantee, that is.
Sunshine sounds good to me.
You're listening to a Monster Kid podcast.
Hi, and welcome to A Dingo Ate My Movie, a podcast that features classic Ozploitation and other weird, wonderful, overlooked and underappreciated Australian films from the 70s, 80s and beyond. I'm your host, Pete, and I'm joined today by Marcy from the Super Network to talk about 100 Bloody Acres from 2012. Brothers Reg and Lindsay Morgan run a fertilizer business in a small country town. They have developed a special blend of fertilizer that's become very popular and brings them some success. When the brothers run out of their unique ingredient, there are concerns that the business may suffer. Luckily, Reg stumbles upon a dead roadie and a trio of music festival goers, perfectly suitable donors for their fertilizer business. 100 Bloody Acres is a lot of fun, the gore is plentiful and the performances are solid, making it an enjoyable watch for the fans of the genre. It stars Damon Herriman, Angus Sampson, Anna McGann, Oliver Ackland and Jamie Christian. It was directed by Colin and Cameron Hans. Hey Marcy, how you doing?
Hey, doing good. Very happy to be here and finally get to have a chat and be on your podcast.
And not do five in a row. Not
yes.
Do five films.
Yes.
I still don't know how you guys get through that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, don't ask me how. It's five films a month per episode. There's a lot of Ozploitation films, as I'm discovering.
Absolutely. There's so many, and it's amazing you're getting through them so well. Like, but you'll do that with five an episode, right?
Well, so, yeah. I mean, we've had a few delays on the Ozploit cast. The last couple of years have been a little bit crazy, but we're getting there. We're kind of getting back on track, but we're still in the 70s.
Yeah.
We started at 1971, and I think we've covered around 40-ish films so far.
You've done really well.
Mm.
I tend to cheat. I just cherry-pick, and then I pick stuff that's not even really Ozploitation, but kind of fits, sort of.
Yeah. Well, you get the option because you have a very different format to the Ozploit cast. You were smart to do one per episode.
A bit easier.
But we made the decision to cover everything Ozploitation. So
yeah, it's really great though. I love listening to it. It's fun.
Well, thank you very much. And I very much enjoy this, your podcast show, and I'll look forward to listening back to myself.
Awesome. It's always fun. I hate hearing myself though. It's the worst, right?
After a very long time, I'm so used to it now.
I'm getting used to it. I think by the time I've finished editing, I'm usually done.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to hear my voice again. So I just put it out. So good. Anyway, so that brings us to the movie we've been watching, which is we're talking about 100 Bloody Acres today. Now, this was a first watch for you, right?
Yes. As much as I'm, a horror person and now an Ozploit person, I hadn't actually gotten around to seeing this until coming up to record this episode with you.
All right. That's great.
It's surprising.
It's an interesting movie, right?
Yes, I'd heard about it, but I didn't really know what it was about. Mm-hmm. I just had the idea it was like a horror comedy, and it was kind of on my radar, but I just never got around to seeing it. And I'm always happy to watch films I haven't seen before, especially, you know, being that I'm getting so into Australian films, or I guess expanded because of Ozploitation, even more exciting to watch something that is in that variety / horror.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's funny, this movie kind of, there's not a lot of background info on this movie. I usually go out looking, but there's not a lot. I found an interview with the two directors, the brothers, Colin and Cameron Cairns, I think their names are. And they were saying originally they actually set out to make a full-on straight-up horror film. But they found as they were putting it together and writing it, they were putting jokes in. So it ended up being a horror comedy. Mm. It probably leans more towards a dark comedy than a horror film at all.
Yeah, it's definitely a very dark comedy / horror.
In
some ways, yeah.
Yeah, it's got some great lines. We'll go through them later. It's got some really funny stuff. So, yeah. So where did you watch it?
I watched this on my iPad on ABC iView.
Good stuff. It's available iView and also Netflix have it at the moment.
Oh, I didn't know they had
in
it.
In Australia, yeah.
Yeah, because when I looked up to see where it was playing, it just came up with ABC iView. So I was like, oh, okay. But, yeah, I will say this about ABC iView. And considering it's the ABC, I would expect more of the stuff they have on there to have closed captioning. But, again, this one did not, and that was disappointing.
Interesting.
Now that I have like subtitles for everything, for me it's so much better because I'm not missing bits of dialogue.
Yeah.
And I'm so used to it. And now it's almost like I feel naked without the closed captions.
Yeah, it is a bit. I sometimes have them on. A lot depends on the movie I'm watching. But I'm finding as I'm getting older and my hearing, which is already destroyed from being a musician for 40 years, is getting worse. I'm actually going for a fitting for a hearing aid next week. And captions are handy. And if you don't have them, sometimes they can be, you know. Yeah. And even when you're just trying to get a gist of a movie where you don't sort of, you know, you sort of don't have to listen out for the dialogue because it's all there in front of you.
Like a lot of older sort of Ozploitation films that, you know, have been really interesting to find. Some of them obviously don't have closed captions and you really want them because the audio quality is not great because obviously a lot of these hadn't even, like, you know, gone beyond VHS.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you find the odd one on, like, YouTube or there are subtitles, it's like, oh, yes, I can probably understand the dialogue now. Yeah.
Or you could try. We could just turn on the YouTube ones where they sort of just make it up as it goes along. That's always fun.
Yeah, you kind of get the gist of it, at least on YouTube.
You do. You do, So what were your initial thoughts of the film when you sat down to watch it?
Yeah, actually, I quite enjoyed this very silly movie. The weird thing is, like, you know, we were sort of, I'd messaged you after I'd seen it, and we sort of the comparison to, now I can't remember what the comparison was to. My brain's gone.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yes. Yeah. So thinking that, you know, it's got kind of a bit of that in there. But also as I thought more about the film just in general, it's got a very similar vibe and humour and silliness that the New Zealand film Black Sheep
has
as well. Yeah. I kind of got like a very similar kind of enjoyment from this as I did with that as well.
Actually, so that'd be good pairing as well.
That actually would be a pretty fun, hilarious, double feature as well.
It would be actually great, yeah.
But I definitely had fun. I didn't know what I was in for. And I think most of, like, the humour hit the mark. I kind of could see, like, where it was going and what potentially could happen. But, you know, it actually makes sense anyway.
Yeah.
And there were some bits that managed to shock me and they had nothing to do with any horror or gore.
Oh, no, we'll talk about that.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, that's probably the most disturbing scene in the film and it's not, like you said, there's no horror or gore in it at all.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. much like Black Sheep, that has another gross scene that doesn't involve gore or anything.
That's right. I remember that. Upset. Yes. Must be the, you know, Australian New Zealand humour sort of thing.
I think it is.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, so I watched this movie a few times. I first saw it, it was probably last year. I just sort of got interested in it and I thought, oh, this might be a good movie to sort of do. Because when I initially started this podcast, I thought, right, I'm just going to do Ausploitation films. And then when I started thinking more about what I was doing, I was like, oh, I'd like to do some that are kind of like, kind of in the spirit of that sort of film, but something a bit newer. And then I started thinking, oh, look, you know, I'll just look for films that are a bit lesser known and whatnot. So I'll never do, say, Crocodile Dundee, right? Yes. But I was happy to do Starstruck, which I really love. That's a great movie. And this, which is, you know, they're not in that 70s, 80s sort of thing, but they're still lesser known films and they're quite fun to watch. And this one's, I was kind of like you. I was kind of not really sure what to expect. But you do, you get an idea where the story's going. It's not exactly a hard story to follow. But I think the thing in this I really like, I think the characters are all pretty strong in this film. Mm. There's actually a bit of characterization. There's a bit of an arc with a few of them.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
especially Reg. I think Reg has the biggest arc in the whole film, and the film's basically his film, I think.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. You were telling me you had a bit of a crush on him.
Yes. I don't know what it was in this movie. He's not the character you're going to get a crush on, but I'm like, this guy just kind of, I don't know, he's like, it's hard to explain. I'm going, kind of crushing on this dude right now. Why?
Yeah, I think he's kind of like that sort of that gentle sort of country guy who's got himself into some shit and is suddenly trying to get out of it and, you know.
Yeah, he's kind of like this sort of dorky loser descriptive character who, you know, eventually he's had enough of all the shit going on. And, you know, he's kind of the weirdly likable character.
He is, unlike his brother who's like an absolute monster bully kind of guy, and
he's disgusting.
Yeah, but he's played really well. I mean, Angus Sampson's great. I mean, seeing him, I was looking at before, like he's been in so many films. I forgot that he was in all those Conjuring films and those things as well.
Insidious.
Yeah. Sorry, not Conjuring. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was in all those films and he's done quite a bit. And I had no idea that Damon Herriman, the guy who played Reg Morgan, was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm. He was Charles Manson in that movie, which is amazing. I had no idea. And I've seen that movie. So I'm not sure if the directors are having any sort of subtle joke or anything, because there's a lot of funny music in this film as well. And not so much funny, but, you know, that sort of appropriate music. And calling, you know, having Reg Morgan and Lindsay Morgan, there's actually, I think, a country and western guy from, like, an Australian country and western guy from years ago called Reg Lindsay. So I'm wondering if there's anything in that. So
maybe there is.
Maybe, yeah.
I think so. Now hearing you say that, I'm like, yeah, probably.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
The music in this is great. I mean, opening up I grew up with some of these songs, so it probably hits me a little bit different, but opening up with, like, Good Morning, How Are You from the Moore Sisters is just amazing. It's sort of like, to me, it's kind of continues that tradition of opening Australian horror films in recent years with really daggy music, like in The Loved Ones, they opened up with Lonesome Loser from Little River Band, which is great.
And the little jingle they have on the radio is quite funny.
It's great, isn't it? What's it? The Morgan's Organics?
Yeah.
We'll get your garden going great.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And it keeps, they spend half the film, I think, waiting to hear the jingle and then you don't stop hearing it.
Yeah, you hear it all the time.
Then you hear it nonstop.
Hear it all the time. It's funny because the first time it actually plays on the radio, they're in a tussle with the guys in the back of the truck, and they kind of miss it, sort of thing.
Yeah,
and there's that bit by the end of the movie. Lindsay hears it and sort of goes he's nuts. Done. He's done. With it. And I'm wondering where he's kind of like the audience in that case. He's kind of done with it.
Yeah, just like the audience, we're done with your ad now.
You all right, Linz? You look absolutely buggered, pardon my French.
No. I'm all right.
Your sis giving you jip again?
No. I've just been real busy, Nance.
Morgan's Organic.
Jesus, I wish they'd stop playing this fucking ad!
Lindsay, doll, the ad's terrific, very funny.
I'll tell you what's funny. I was watching this yesterday afternoon. It was about just before I finished work, a little bit early, about 4:30, and I put it on. I've got the Blu-ray, and I just had it sitting at the menu. In the menu, it just keeps looping the song. The Morgan's Organics. Anyway.
Genius.
Yeah, it's great. Anyway, there's this knock at the door and it was CareFlight looking for donations, right? So I'm talking to these people at the front door from CareFlight and all I can hear in the background is this song looping over and over again. I'm wondering, these people are thinking, what the fuck is he listening to?
Yeah, probably.
Crazy. And it's
maybe you could have been a jingle writer.
Maybe, yeah. And now I've got it in my head, and I've had it in my head all day. I've been walking around the house singing it all day. Yeah, it's really funny.
They did well with it, that's for
they
sure.
Certainly did. They did well with all that stuff. They did a lot of, I was saying to you before we came on that I was looking at YouTube today and there's an actual channel that the guy what they set up. There's actually a trailer for the movie in there, but there's all these segments that supposedly, you know, the two guys had recorded for, you know, local TV and stuff like that. And they're really clever, and some of them are like tell you more about the plot than what's actually in the movie. They're really worth having a look at.
Nice.
So it's really good. I'll put a link in the show notes to those. It's quite fun. Yeah, I loved it. Opening up with "Good morning, how are you?" is fantastic, and then, you know, the whole roadie on the side of the road, Bizzo, with him sort of dead, and that whole storyline with the dead roadie or the supposedly dead roadie is fantastic. So
I was not expecting he wasn't quite.
Not quite dead, was he?
Yes. That bit sort of had the, I wouldn't call it a jump scare kind of thing, but I was just like, oh, whoa, what?
Yeah. My thing was when it as a musician, it hit me because when he comes to, he's like, when's sound check?
And I'm like, when's the sound check?
When's the sound check? And that was kind of like his last line. And then he gets put into the machine.
Lins, sound check.
Get it off, Lins! We're gonna kill him!
Poor bastard.
Yeah, there's some great lines in this movie. I wrote a few of them down. There's that classic line that Reg says, where he says, if the stars were maligned, which I loved.
Who is that?
Oh, that's Sophie.
And who the fuck is that?
Her boyfriend. No, her mate. Well, one of them's her boyfriend. Oh, I don't know, it's complicated. Oh, plus the dead fella I found along Giljara Road this morning.
What the fucking fuck have you done?
We got some freshies, Linz. You've always said if the stars were maligned, we should just go through with it. Like with the Salvo 6.
Those Downies were already dead, fuck ass.
And then there's that whole bit about it's not about what we did do, but what we do do. And then he keeps
what we do yeah.
Yeah.
Can't you see? Right now, it's not about what we did do or didn't do, but what we do do. Because sometimes what you have to do is, I don't know why I keep saying do, but, well, what I mean is you can't undo what you've done, but you can do, oh, I'm not real good at these big speeches, but you know what I mean, right?
That's quite funny. And the one about, you know, we're not psychos, we're small business operators.
We're small business owners, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. It's really good.
It hits, like, it is quite funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, considering they're in the middle of, like, killing someone or putting them through the grinder, we're small business owners.
Yeah.
Yes, love, you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't you dare hurt any fucking psycho! We're not psychos, all right? We're small business operators.
What did you think about the trio, like the... I think it's, is it Wes, Sophie and James, right? Is that are their names right? I think it's right. Wes is the guy that takes the acid trip, has the trip.
Yeah, James and Sophie, yeah.
And Sophie, yeah.
What did you think of them? I found Wes to be very annoying for most of the film.
Right.
He was just so irritating. I'm like, dude, why are they hanging around with you? You're quite annoying. Go away. I the James character was getting on my nerves a little bit.
Especially near the end, right?
Oh, my gosh. He's insufferable by the end. Yeah. I thought Sophie was a very kind of, like she, the actress, Anna McGann, I think?
I think it's McGann, yeah.
Yeah. She's got a lot of charisma. So I feel like she brings a lot of kind of personality to Sophie, even if Sophie might not be a character who's made the best choices, but you know, she comes around a little bit, and yeah, you can probably see why maybe she didn't make the best choices, because James, a little bit insufferable.
The funny thing is they're all going to the John Butler Trio gig at this festival, and we find out later that she doesn't even like
like them.
And he was going to propose to her when John Butler
was born. There's a whole thing with like the ring and everything.
I found them quite good. I like Sophie. I thought she was a good character, and I thought she played really well. They had some interesting shots, like the first shot where she goes into the truck. There's that obviously the cleavage shot is there from Reg's POV. And but I think they have Reg and her have a very interesting relationship during the film. I think he kind of initially when they're, you know, when she's bundled away and he's got them tied up back at the farm. And she's obviously trying to kind of get him interested so they can just get away initially, but you can sort of see how she's kind of turning with his personality a little bit, which is interesting because, like you said, he's a bit of a loser. But I think with his arc, he kind of comes through a little bit at the end.
Yeah, I think he does redeem himself very well. But, yeah, the whole – you could feel like there's that whole flirtation in the truck.
Yeah.
And you almost kind of forget this is meant to be like a horror movie because it's almost like a meet cute in a rom-com and they're like flirting in the car and stuff. It's done really well. By the time like they're trying to escape and then she's doing the whole seduction thing, but then when they actually kiss and you see, well, she's a little bit into this. And I'm not sure she was 100% expecting to be.
I don't think so either.
And that kind of adds another whole, like, dynamic to it. And, again, it sort of you can see with that, like, similarities with Tucker and Dale versus Evil where you have the female character with now I can't remember which one it was, if it was Tucker or Dale have, like, a friendship bond in the film.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what sort of made me think they would work both well together, those two movies, besides them both being like you know, country guys, hicks sort of thing. Yeah, James was a real pain in the ass, especially later on when he finds out about, you know, her tryst with Wes, and then he starts asking all these questions and
I'm just thinking as a son, I'm like, can we just put you in the grinder? Yeah, like, the grind. Shut up, mate.
Yeah, because he's like, he wants to know everything. And then she basically says to him at one point, like, he wants to know if she slept with Wes, and she's like, will it change anything if I say yes? And then she says yes, and then how many times it goes on and on and
yeah.
on. So.
Ugh, yeah. But then at the same, like, at the same, while this is all happening, because their car breaks down because Wes is an idiot, and Reg picks them up. And he puts the guys in the back, unbeknownst to the guys at first, there is the quote-unquote dead body of the roadie in there. And as they're in the back, Wes decides to, I think he takes acid. So he spends the whole film on, like, this acid trip. And he's just, like, so annoying.
I didn't think it was that annoying. I think he
got less annoying as the film went on, and then James got more annoying.
I think it was almost like there was an inverse.
Yeah.
Because I thought that the whole scene at Fairyland or whatever it is fantastic. Especially when he's seeing the gnomes in front of him and he's sort of
when he's making out with the mannequin.
Yes.
And then I get the impression he might have had an argument with the mannequin.
Yeah, it's really quite bizarre. It's pretty funny. Well done. It's really well done. And then he just walks back and sort of walks straight into, Lindsay and doesn't even notice. We're going all over the place, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That's what you do with these sort of things. So.
Yeah, it is.
But that scene with the guys in the back of the truck and the dead roadie under the bags of the blood and bone, from what I understand with the little bits of interviews I saw with the directors, that was part of the whole thing that got them into – that was kind of – they based the whole movie around that scene.
Okay.
I think it sounds like that's what they came up with first. What if two guys are sitting in the back of a truck and there's a dead guy there and his hand's just sticking out and you keep waiting for them to find the hand? And I think that's kind of where they got a lot of the ideas from. So.
Yeah, because actually quite funny because you can see there's this hand in the background, but they haven't noticed it because their backs are to it. And it's just you're waiting for them to bloody notice. But at the same time, you're like, one of them's just tripping on acid. He's not going to really notice.
He's not going to notice
it. Yeah. It takes them a while.
It does. It's almost Hitchcockian though, right, in the way that you know that it's there and you're kind of waiting waiting for them to come across it.
Mm.
Yeah, and then they freak out in the back of the truck. And I love the bit where he comes out, where Reg comes out and says to Sophie, I'm just going to give him some air, and he goes around the back while they're screaming and yelling and just talks to them as if they're, you know, he's letting them out, and then he just shuts them, you know, makes a bit of noise and then goes back to the cabin. So
I like how every time there's, like, a weird noise or something in this film, they're just, like, thinking that if they ignore it, everyone else around them won't hear it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think that's how that works.
Not usually, no.
No.
I really like the way they open out where when they're waiting, like, I think they got some water for their broken down car and they're in the cemetery area and they're at the grave area for the, what do they call them? The something six or something?
Mm.
What were they? I can't remember what they were. Oh, the Salvo Six.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And, you know, there were six people that apparently had some sort of accident and they never found their bodies, but we kind of figure out what happened to them eventually. So
yeah, there's little clues like
there's little clues, yeah. And this is why their blood and bone is so good, their fertilizer was so good. And that's what's funny, these ads that they made that they've got on YouTube, at the tail end of the ad, there's always Reg is always there saying, we'll fertilize you. And it's like he's telling you what they're going to do to you, basically.
Yeah. But, I know, the whole ad tells you what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, but nobody picks up on it.
No. It's really cool. And I loved, the other thing I loved was listening to, like, the regional ads, you know, how they were driving in the truck and they were listening to the radio and he was waiting for their ad to come on. There was all those other ads and that regional radio. And I was just thinking, oh, my God, this is just like, you know, I've just been away. I drove to Melbourne for a holiday a couple of weeks ago or about a month ago now. And when we were driving back, we were going through some small areas. We were listening to sort of more local radio stations and stuff like that. And it was kind of like that whole sort of like, you know, that – you know, there's a dance next week at so and so, and all this sort of stuff.
It's like another world when you get to those stations.
It is, but I loved it, and the way they sort of, well, like you mentioned before, they're just waiting for that ad to come on all the time, and eventually it did. But
it just happened at the like worst possible moment.
Absolutely
for them, of course.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, I love the scene in the truck's great. The other thing I loved was about Reg as well was his girlfriend Beck.
Oh God! As he's saying, oh yeah, he's got a girlfriend. I'm like, oh, he's clearly just made it up. I'm like, I can't picture this guy having a girlfriend.
Yeah,
but we find out what he meant by Beck's.
Correct.
Oh, it's bloody hilarious.
It's hilarious. Should we spoil it? I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I think I
spoil everything on this year late. So I'll let you spoil it.
His girlfriend, Rebecca, is Rebecca Gibney, who he just has photos of all over in his little trailer. And I'm pretty sure he just uses a hanky to jerk off to her, and that hanky comes back later, and it's, you just know, and you can hear the crunch, and it's disgusting.
I was kind of like when I first watched it and suddenly got to the bit where he goes back to his little caravan.
Yeah.
And you can see the photos of Rebecca Gibney. And for people in Australia will know who Rebecca Gibney is, but for other people, she's like a TV host.
Actress. She's
a bit of a celebrity. Yeah. He obviously had photos cut out of her all over the place.
Like from Woman's Day or New Idea or whatever.
Yeah. So that's something that kind of pays off. And
It's really – it took me a good 10 seconds for it to click in my head. And then I'm like, oh.
Yeah. And the other thing that's really cool about this movie is we get John Jarrett.
Yes.
On the other side of the law for a change.
Yes, he's not Mick Taylor.
No.
It's Mick Taylor's brother. No, not really. I was gonna say it's Mick Taylor's brother who went on the good side of the law.
Yeah, he's like the local cop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, like when we see him, Lindsay has, I think it's Wes in the trunk of the car, and he can hear like noise. And then he's about to, you know, leave, and then the guy starts screaming, and then Lindsay's there like, no, nothing. No, I don't hear anything. Like, dude, he can hear it.
Yeah. It's like you were saying before, right?
It's a good cameo.
Yeah, it's like you were saying before. He kind of figured if he just ignored it, he'll go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it is a good cameo. It's a very short cameo because he's only in the movie, what, 5 minutes, if that? Yeah. And then he gets his head blown off, basically.
Yeah.
It's kind of an escalation from that point, right? Mm. So from that point on, Lindsay's kind of just like, oh, well, I'm just going to kill people. And he just chucks him in the back of the car.
Yeah,
as
he
well.
Doesn't give a shit.
And there's that bit at the end where you end up in the back of there. It was a Leyland P76, I think. We end up with Wes. I don't even know John Jarrett's, like, what his name was.
No.
In the film.
Don't remember.
He was a cop, Burke, his name was. Burke and, the cop. Yeah, so there's him in the back, and then there's at one stage there's Reg, there's three of them in the boot of a P76, which is quite fun when they're all in there. And and Wes is looking for his hand after getting it cut off.
Yes, and the hand ends up with a little dog. And the thing is, I can imagine my dog would be that disgusting. Dogs are gross.
It's just a piece of meat to the dog, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
he wasn't going to get his hand back, and he had to wrap up what was left of his hand in the jizz tissue. Sorry, the jizz hanky.
That's it. And then Reg is telling him the story about, like, he's reassuring him that he'll be able to get his hand reattached. And he was telling the story of some towny guy who lost his hand in some accident and they stuck it back on and it wasn't exactly successful, but he'll be okay.
Yeah.
So they can stitch him back on, yeah? Yeah.
Bob Clay up on Jacaranda Crest, he chopped his hand off digging fence poles about 10 years ago. Brave little bugger walked about 20 clicks before anyone found him. But you know what? They located his hand, they put it in an esky, chopped him off to the city, and before you know it, he was as good as new.
Yeah?
Now, I won't lie to you, the hand didn't take too well and he had to give the farming away. But it turned out to be a bit of a blessing in disguise. He got into sign painting during his rehab and now he's got his own business. Does all the local shops, even did our truck. So there's hope, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to find my hand, man.
Mate, I promise you, as soon as we get out of here, we'll grab the others, we'll find your hand, and we'll get you straight to hospital, right?
You think I'll get to go in the chopper?
I reckon that'll happen for sure.
Cool.
And then when they get out of the car, Reg is just trying to get down to business and getting things happening, you know, with Lindsay, etc. But all Wes wants to do is go looking for his hand.
He just wants his hand.
That's kind of leading us up to the difficult part of the movie to watch, where we have this character who's been in the movie. Is it Nancy? So I'm not sure. Do you think is Nancy their aunt? Do they actually call her?
I think they do.
Is it not an aunt? Like, so when I was growing up, we had, like, in the street I lived in, I had, you know, neighbors. So, you know, his name is Colin, but we just call him Uncle Cole because he was my dad's mate. Or there was Uncle Terry who lived across the road. They're all uncles to us, even though they weren't really uncles, you know. You probably had that sort of upbringing well, right? So I'm wondering if it's that sort of thing, because if it's not, that's really dodgy.
Yeah, because you see a picture of her when they were boys. So my impression was that she was probably their real aunt, and when their mother passed, she looked after them. And, yeah, apparently Aunt Nancy and Lindsay had a very disgusting relationship.
I don't even know how to describe this scene. So there's this scene where Reg is going into the house to confront Lindsay because he's just, like, going to say, look, we've got to stop all this. We've got to give ourselves in and whatnot. And he walks in and there's Nancy kind of on the lounge and Lindsay's sort of gone to work, so to speak. And
well, we'll say Nancy was kind of spread eagle on the couch and Lindsay was on his knees.
Yes, exactly. That's what
imagine the rest.
Yes.
And Reg, obviously unaware of this, is quite disgusted.
Quite shocked.
As he probably should be, because it's very gross.
But it also gives him an opening, so he's able to get the keys with the big key ring with the, what was the name? I think it was the restaurant they kept talking about.
Yeah, I can't think. It was something.
Dazzler, I think it was called.
Maybe.
And he was able to get it away, but, you know, and once again, this shows the kind of like the where Lindsay's kind of gone with the everything's gone too far, because they stop what they're doing and they end up having this argument, and Nancy basically just, you know, tells him she's going to call the police, and he just shoots her in the back. No issues at all, just kills us straight up like that. So, yeah, and that's where we kind of get the, you know, where Reg is really starting to stand up for himself and sort of cleavers him in the arm, which is a great shot and kind of hurt when I watched it. But
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Aside from, that obvious scene, it kind of goes in the direction you think it's going to go. Because from early on, you sort of get an idea of who Reg is.
Yeah.
And when Lindsay comes onto the picture, you're like, I can see that they're not going to be on the same page by the end of the film. And you do feel like from the interaction in the truck that Reg and Sophie will probably team up.
Yeah.
So for me, it was kind of, yeah, I saw all that coming. Not the auntie thing, that was just gross. But I think the way the film kind of ends was almost like poetic justice in a way.
It is a bit because, like, yeah. There's the whole bit where, you know, looks like Lindsay's going to put Reg into the, I don't know, I can't remember what the machine is, but it's like just a boning machine.
I just called it the meat grinder, I don't know.
Yeah. And eventually, obviously, he. Mm. It's really interesting, that scene. So what happens is Sophie has a gun on Lindsay and Reg starts singing their song, the Morgan Brothers song, and they both sing. So it's really interesting. They kind of, they've been at war for the last 15 minutes and they kind of have this brotherly moment near the end of the film where they're kind of like both smiling and singing the song and they're kind of like happy. And then Reg drags him into the boner, into the machine.
I'm a man of my word. And when I promise Charlie Wick a ton, a premium grade new blend, well, I'm going to deliver on that promise. That's a Morgan Brothers guarantee.
All I ever wanted from you was a bit of recognition.
So if your soil's off the boil, you get nothing for your toil. The blood and bone will fix you up a tree.
Morgan's Organic. We'll get your garden growing great.
That's a Morgan Brothers guarantee.
Yes, it is. A
Morgan Brothers guarantee that is.
I only really noticed on second viewing where it was kind of like, oh, they're having a nice little brotherly moment.
They have a moment, but then it's like, you know what, Lindsay, you're kind of way too evil.
Just trying to see if I've got any other notes there. I've talked about Reg and Sophie. Reg breaking up with Beck.
Yeah.
Because he pulls down all the
photos. He pulls all the posters and pictures down. It's a breakup. He's no longer with her.
I was thinking again when I watch it, I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking this film because it is pretty basic, but it's kind of funny. There's that scene where he does all that and I'm like, is he doing that because he's like, okay, I'm growing myself, I'm kind of growing and I'm done with this part of my life.
Yeah.
Or has he done it with the whole, well, I want to be with Sophie now, so she's all done, but.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of like he's like, you know, becoming his own person. He wants to be independent of his brother, but he's also like, maybe I could have a real girlfriend at the same time, so.
Yeah, he has a great arc in the film because he does. He gets to the say at the beginning of the movie, he's subservient and he gets bullied by his brother massively and whatever. And then he eventually grows into like someone that's going to fight back and you know, realizes they've done the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that, you know, eventually when we don't see what happens at the end, but I'm assuming that they just put it all on Lindsay anyway.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
He could have just acted like, hey, I never knew he was doing all that to the fertilizer.
Actually, the scene that I loved too was when he was talking, when Lindsay's talking to Nancy in the house and she's asking where Reg is, and there's that whole scene where he says, Reg's friend is in Queensland, I think he was, has cancer and he's gone to see him and, you know, I don't know when he'll be back. And he says, I don't even know if he will come back.
Mm.
So I'm like, okay, so Lindsay's already decided he's going to kill Reg. He's going to kill him,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, like he was laying the seeds because he knew what he probably needed to do.
Yeah. At that stage, he was going to kill everyone, I think.
Pretty much.
Anything else that stuck out for you in the movie?
Just trying to think. Like, I think one of the scenes I really liked, which I've already kind of discussed, was, the interaction with Sophie and Reg in the truck.
Yeah.
Just because it flows so naturally and everything. But one of the other scenes that I was just, like, sitting there going, oh, my God, really? When Wes realizes he's got, like, a knife in his pocket and the knife goes all over the room and then... To get it back to Wes, it ends up getting stuck in his leg.
Because he kicks it back. James kicks it back.
I was waiting. I'm like, oh, my God, that's going to hit him, like, in the head or something. And then it goes on the leg and he's like.
Yeah.
That got a big laugh.
It's funny. Me. That's in the trailer, that bit. It's really cool. Music-wise, like I said, I've already mentioned the music, but near the end we get Chad Morgan's Sheik of Scrubby Creek, which is just fantastic. The one where he's going, oh, 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 that song. I fucking love that song. It's so weird.
Oh, the Sheilas think I'm handsome. Their fathers think I'm mad. Their mothers think I'm a villain, but I'm just a lovable lad. I'm loved by the poor and the wealthy, loved by the good and the bad, loved by the fat and the skinny, because I'm a lovable lad.
So I had all these songs running around in my head all day, and it's been driving me crazy while I've been trying to work. But
I think they actually just how the film flows. Like, I think each musical choice really fits.
Yeah, it does.
Especially when they're sort of in the car and they're singing along, and then they sort of bring it up later. There's some callbacks with that as well. So
it is good when they're singing Duncan together. That's really cool. So have you got any last thoughts on the film or any closing thoughts on the film?
I guess if people are listening to this, and apologies for spoilers, but if you haven't seen it, it's probably worth checking out. And, maybe if you saw this film and maybe you didn't like it too much, I'd say it's probably worth a revisit. I went into it without really knowing what to expect, and I came out just having a good time. Once again, like, you could pair this, or you could do a triple feature with this, Tucker and Dale versus Evil and Black Sheep. So I think, that would actually be, quite a fun little movie marathon. Really fun, enjoyable film, really good performances. And I think a lot of everyone actually really hit, the right notes as well. And it is genuinely funny. Like, there were genuine laughs in it.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. I like that as well. And it's got a little bit of heart to it. There's a bit of, but it is. It's really funny. It's more of a comedy than a horror film. It's like I said before, it's just a dark comedy, really.
Yeah, it's a very dark comedy little bits of horror thrown in there.
Exactly. Cool. So while I've got you here, I'm going to talk a bit about Ozploitation.
Yes.
Because we've got a bit of time to kill, if that's okay with you.
Yes, we may.
I want to know, out of all the films you've seen so far in your Ozploitation journey, what are some of your favourites, and what are some of the ones that you'll be like, oh, my God, thank God I don't need to watch that again or whatever?
One of the first ones we covered, The Set, from 1970, I found to be quite interesting and different. So that one sticks out a lot. Peterson from 1974, which was,
Thompson?
Yeah, I think it was what really got, it was one of his first bigger roles from what I remember, and also had Jackie Weaver. That was quite a surprising and really interesting film. What else is there? The Man from Hong Kong was a lot of fun. Absolute blast with that film. Mad Dog Morgan I found really intriguing and interesting, because that's sort of like one of the more well-known earlier ones.
Mm-hmm.
So that one I had been looking forward to checking out. Death Cheaters, again, sort of made around, or I think just after The Man from Hong Kong, and it was just pure fun. And a couple of others that I really or a few others I really liked. End Play.
I love End Play. It's a great film.
I'd never even heard of it. And, just watching it unfold, just, wow, really damn good movie.
Yeah, it's great. Delveen Delaney doesn't have much to do, but she's in it a lot.
It's, I was very surprised by the film. And I really, really liked Journey Among Women, which as of recording with you, was on our last episode. That one was, wow, really, really, really good.
I heard you talking about that one, and I was like, I really have to go and see that. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It sounds really great.
Yeah, it was, wow. And, Raw Deal, which was a Aussie Western that turned out to be a really fun, really good film. I really want to see that and, like, get, you know, an actual proper, like, big release and be restored. As far as films I never want to see again.
I think I know a couple of these. Yeah.
There's a few. I don't really need to see The Naked Bunyip again. I wasn't the biggest on Alvin Purple.
Right.
I preferred Alvin Rides Again. I had way more fun with that. I did not really care for Sidecar Races.
Right. I've got that one. I haven't watched it yet.
It just wasn't for me. Plug was awful. Awful, awful, awful. Australia After Dark was not great. Phantasm.
Oh, I heard you talk about that one. Yeah.
I think Phantasm Comes Again might have just been slightly, maybe it was a bit more watchable. I don't know, but I really did not like them all that much, and I really didn't like Summer City either.
So. Yeah, I've heard you were talking about that in your last show as well.
Yeah,
you?
That was from the last one as well.
That's one with Mel Gibson and Steve Bisley and a few of those guys.
It just didn't rock my boat.
Yeah.
So there's definitely been highs, lows, a lot of in between. As far as like ones I had seen before, like Patrick's Grey, Walkabout is phenomenal. Wake and Fright is a masterpiece.
It's really funny, like Wake and Fright, and I've said this a few times, like the episode I did on that, we went for 3 hours talking about that film. I thought no one would listen to that episode, but it's probably the most downloaded episode I have.
It was a very intriguing conversation.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just the power of that film. Because, that was our debut episode, and we covered the original film.
Yep.
We covered the miniseries from 2017.
I haven't seen that yet. What's that like?
No. I gave it 2.5 out of 5.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, it's I get what they were going for. It just doesn't quite work. And we also talked about the book that it was based on as well.
Right.
And I think Wake and Fright, not the miniseries, the first one, I think it's still the highest score out of this run of Ozploitation films so far.
It's amazing.
At least for me.
I love it. It's probably one of my favourite Ozploitation films.
I think
it's probably
one of my favourite films in general.
I was going to say it's one of my favourite films, because Donald Pleasance is amazing in that film.
Everyone's so good. And, recommend checking out the book, because there are similarities, but there are differences, and it's really interesting to read that as well. And, sort of as, I guess, on our show, we're going to be heading to more, now we're going to the late 70s, so we'll be, you know, Mad Max will be coming up at some point soon. Yeah. So there'll probably be maybe some more well-known-ish ones coming up. So it'll be interesting, because there's many I have not seen.
Yeah, I've enjoyed, like, the stuff I've done, I've really, you know, some of the films, I think I've enjoyed most of the films. Mm. I think things like, you know, I talked about Dead End Driving. Have you watched that yet?
I haven't.
Not up to that yet?
No.
Dead End Driving, you'll love, I think.
It's still a little while away.
Yeah, you're still in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
That's 80-something. And I think one of my favourite movies I watched wasn't even Ozploitation, but The Loved Ones is fantastic.
Yeah, I love The Loved Ones. I've seen it way too many times. And I think as far as, like, what you could consider Ozploitation, I think, like, this, The Loved Ones, even Wolf Creek kind of fit into that, more of the lower budget, but you use those elements of exploitation so they kind of fit. And yeah. I look at them more as sort of a more modern take on that. Because you look at, say, The Loved Ones, and you can see the influences of, like, the early 70s of American exploitation and grindhouse cinema. So, yeah, like, once we kind of hit in the 90s, I feel like there was just a whole new kind of wave of what you could still say is exploitation, but just more modernized.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. Wait till you get to Storm Warning. That's like 2007, I think. So that's a fantastic film too. It's
There's
really
so good. Many. We have like
you have millions. Yeah, you have millions.
Yeah, so we have enough content at least for a few years. So
yeah. How do you guys fit it? So how many podcasts do you have on your network? I was trying to figure this out.
Well, yes. Okay, so we have the Ozploit.
This is a good time to plug, by the way.
Yes, so. That's what I'm doing. So on the Super Network, which you can find at supermarcy.com, we have the Ozploit cast. We have the King Zone podcast, which is about the TV and film adaptations or works of Stephen King. And also it has a spin-off mini show, the King Zone's Book Club, which mainly going to focus on short stories written by Stephen King, so not talking about actual films or TV stuff. It's just all written works. Then we have the Super Podcast, which has been going on for like 12 years or something by this point, my original podcast that's still going, which we do. Most of these are once a month or so, and we're kind of mixing it up. We're doing an audio commentary 1 month, and then we'll do a different kind of episode the next month. So we're kind of mixing things up. Then I'm trying to think what else we have. We have Podcasters of Horror, which we started off as going through the Showtime horror anthology series, Masters of Horror.
Ooh, that's a good series.
And that's kind of just developed into a horror anthology show. So we've covered the two seasons of Masters of Horror and the unofficial third sequel, Fear Itself. And we've discussed Nightmare Cinema, which was so all kind of involved Mick Garris. And yes, we'll be talking about more horror anthology films as well as more horror anthology TV shows, and we've got some bonus episodes with that as well. And our weekly show, which is the To Be Tuesdays podcast, where every week we go on the free streaming service Tubi and watch a movie on there, like an audio commentary or watch along. And sometimes we haven't seen the movie, sometimes we have. It's usually a bit insane, but Tubi is the best.
That's so good.
You just have ads to deal with. And I will credit Tubi. They do have a number of Ozploitation on there.
Yep.
That's actually how I saw one of the recent ones, Summer City, is on there. Tubi is a good resource for some more obscure-ish Ozploitation as well as not as obscure.
I like Tubi because even though they have ads, they only usually show two or three, and the ads only go for 15 seconds, 20 seconds.
Yeah, it's quick.
And there's only like three or four segments in it, like a normal film where they and it's really quick.
So, yeah. It sort of depends. Like on the TV, you kind of know when you're going to get ads every maybe 20, 30 minutes or so. But when you're doing it like on your desktop or, you know, computer or something, it's a bit different. So when we do the podcast, we keep in the ads. Because you get the whole Tubi experience. So we don't know when the ads are coming, what they're going to be. Just adds to the whole experience.
That sounds like a fun show to do. That sounds like a really fun show. I'll do one of those with you guys one day.
We'll definitely have you on there. Yeah. we love our guests on Tubi Tuesdays. And and I also have my own show that I don't do with Bede because everything I have Bede with me.
Yeah.
And I just have my After Dark show with Super Marcy and kind of focusing more on the adult side of cinema, like sexploitation. I've talked about you know, parodies, but the clean cuts of those parodies, which I think is kind of hilarious. Yeah, so I'm kind of tackling fun things, but maybe some more serious things. So it's just a little bit spicier.
The Ozploitation stuff's really interesting because I sometimes, when I'm talking about, I suddenly find myself talking about these movies that are made in the 70s and 80s when the sensibilities of, you know, general society in general were completely different, right?
Mm.
And you see things in those movies and they say things in those movies that you think, oh my God, if they said that today or they did that today, it would be all over, right? There's lines in The Man from Hong Kong, for instance, that are a little racist and things like that that you just would never say. But
yeah, I mean, Barry McKenzie has a lot of that as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like big time.
Yeah.
I've
got that one on the list for this year, on the ticket for this year, one of the episodes.
It's so bizarre. I actually really enjoyed, like, because I was kind of almost dreading having to watch Alvin Purple and Barry McKenzie. But it's weirdly enough, I enjoyed Barry McKenzie and Barry Rides Again. As problematic as they are, but I feel like that it's the heart of those films was in the right place. And again, you have Donald Pleasance in the second Barry McKenzie. They're just fun, and that's what I ended up liking about Alvin Rides Again. It was just more fun and silly, and I actually kind of liked that. The kind of that ochre humor, I think, went better in the second one.
So thank you so much for coming on, Marzi. It's been great to have you on the show. I really enjoyed it. We'll have to have you back again.
Oh, thank you so much.
Do some fun stuff. It's been really good. I've been looking forward to it. So
yeah, we've been hoping to guest on one of each other's podcasts.
Yeah, it's great. And it's really just good having, you know, nothing against my other guests, but having an Australian co-host is just so nice. We're in the same time zone and everything.
I know, right? We don't have to record at ridiculous o'clock in the morning.
No, we can do it after work, you know?
So it always helps. Well, you know, if you're ever up to the task of watching five Ozploitation films in prep, we'll give you a few months to get prepped, but we'll definitely get you on, yes.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
We'll look at the schedule and we'll get you in there. But you'll definitely enjoy having Bede on the show. He's very passionate about Fury Road. So,
oh, that's good. I can't wait to have you on.
The perfect one for him, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. Cool. Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. Thank you very much. And when we come back, we'll talk about what's on next.
And now, preview time. When it comes to entertainment, you can't beat a good film. So let's take a look at what's coming your way.
A warrior, Auntie. Lost everything. Looking for a deal.
But he's just a raggedy man.
Today is necessary to kill a man.
What are you playing?
Field if you want.
Who's the bunny?
Who runs Bartertown?
Master Blaster runs Bartertown.
Okay, you said a clear fight. What do you mean by that?
Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leaves.
How do I get in there?
That's easy. Pick a fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dying time's here.
This is Thunderdome. Death is listening.
This wasn't part of the deal.
Well, ain't we a pair? Raggedy Man.
Hello.
Next up on A Dingo Ate My Movie, I'm joined by Jacob and Tab from Test Pattern to talk about Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. Thank you to all my guests who give their time to make this podcast possible, and a special thanks to you for listening. Don't forget you can follow A Dingo Ate My Movie on social media. We're A Dingo Movie on Twitter, Dingo Movie Pod on Facebook and Instagram, and we're on the web at dingomoviepod.com. If you'd like to support the show, leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, or share the show with your friends. Of course, you can always buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/dingomoviepod. Once again, thanks for listening, stay safe, and I'll see you on the next episode of A Dingo Ate My Movie.
Well, folks, that brings us to the end of another Australia Day Aussie Music Marathon. Hope you've enjoyed the show, because I know I have, and look forward to seeing you next Saturday at the King George Showgrounds for the Salvo 6 fundraiser. Catch me in the fruit and veg stand around 3. It's my pleasure to judge the pumpkin competition. Being a man of the earth, you know, I'm a hands-on kind of guy. There's a lot at stake here, though, for all the growers this year. And I know there's some fierce rivalry out there. Hopefully, I'll be able to stay out of harm's way, because the competition will be on. If not, hey, bring a stretcher. But stick around with my good mate Tim Lanyon, who'll take you through to midnight with his Golden Oldie show. Terrific program. And a really top-notch broadcaster. That's our Tim. Say, catch you tomorrow. God bless.
Wonderful atmosphere, the juiciest steaks, music and dancing and the scrummiest cakes.